Is it safe to assume that interest rates won't be cut in 2025 based on the latest data that's dropped? Well, let's discuss this in this video and see what that looks like when it comes to property prices, because I think the results will shock you. If you're interested in what my thoughts are, then definitely keep watching. Hey guys, my name is Ravi and welcome back to Personal Finance with Ravi Sharma. If you're new here, smash that subscribe button because I talk about real estate, cryptocurrency, and financial freedom. Now at the moment, there's a few things that are super volatile and it's something to consider as we go ahead and build our foundation and our machine, as I like to refer to, when building a real estate portfolio. One of the major things is inflation. We've been talking about it for years now at this point and you might be getting sick of it, but it's still very important because what you're more concerned with is not so much inflation, it's interest rates, because they have that relationship with each other. If inflation is high, interest rates will be high, and when inflation goes low, you'll have interest rates go low. That's what you would have got taught in economics in year 11. Now, what was happening at the start of 2024 was a lot of predictions coming out suggesting that inflation is dropping really quickly. We should have interest rate cuts as early as March in the US. That's now been pushed to about September or October. And what Australia was tracking at was about 1 or 2 months after that is when we would have cut. So at this point, it's looking likely, based on the latest inflation data, that we may not see a cut in all of 2025. And is that something that should scare you, or is it something that should excite you? Because hey, there are always pros and cons, and there's always opportunities in markets. So if you're sitting there and thinking, well, oh, that means I can't invest, or something's happening around the world, or there's geopolitical issues, I can't invest. Well, the reality is markets continue moving. Now, not everything moves at the same time, but there's one guarantee, which is the dollar that you have in your bank account is losing value. Now, it doesn't happen overnight. And I know I've even spoken about inflation and how your dollar's eroding, and then you go on TikTok and it's like, oh my God, like my dollar is gone. So I better go to the bank tonight and, you know, invest it. It happens over time. And there's not much in life that's guaranteed apart from taxes, death, and inflation. And in this case, your purchasing power is definitely going to go down. So over time, if you just said, I'm going to sit on the sidelines for say 4 years, and let's use the last 4 years as an example, not only would you have seen the dollar value reduce, but then you would have also seen asset prices increase. So it's harder to get into assets because they've now artificially been, you know, pumped up. But the dollar has actually lost value because they've now pumped all this artificial money into the system. You might have been thinking, hey, like, why am I paying taxes when the government can just go print their own money? And that's effectively the questions that were coming up. There were a bunch of memes during the lockdowns, and it was quite funny. But right now, if we don't have interest rate cuts in 2024, what does that actually mean? Well, there's a couple of things that I want to focus on. There are so many different factors, and at this point it would be speculation, but let's just use very general terms and understanding of what could happen. Because again, you're here not for the technical analysis of how this will happen and then this will happen and it becomes a 2-hour thing. You're coming in here to get a little nugget of gold to say, okay, this has simplified my way of thinking. It allows me to execute. I don't get analysis paralysis. And hey, in 5 years' time, it won't even matter. As long as I'm making 90 to 95% of the decisions right now, I'm going to be okay. So with that, let's factor in that interest rates don't cut in 2024. Now, what that does is it means more people will be sidelined. Now, one of the things that is coming up in the next couple of months, depending on when you're watching this, is our tax changes. So the tax brackets will change. We've got tax cuts that are coming, and that will naturally mean that more people can afford to buy more. What I mean by that is because the amount of tax that comes out of your pay will reduce, you will have more of a disposable income. Now, one of two things will happen. One, you're gonna go spend it on dumb shit, or two, you're gonna go to the bank and say, well, my borrowing capacity should increase because now I keep more of my pay. And what that will do is it means more demand will come into the market because now suddenly you couldn't afford to buy something at 400K, but you can at 450. So you're still gonna get demand come in later this year. Now, in addition to that, you're also gonna get a lot of optimism come into the market when we have an idea of when the US will cut their rate. Now, at the moment, we're probably taking 2 steps forward, 1 step back, because you say, okay, well, interest rates are definitely not going up and we're probably gonna see a cut. Now it's like, okay, we're probably not gonna cut, but we definitely aren't gonna increase rates. Now, if we suddenly see another inflation print that goes a little bit higher, then the idea of another interest rate hike gets put on the table. And at this point, I'm gonna be super selfish, okay? Just giving you a disclaimer that this is very selfish of myself to be saying. I'm actually interested in having the interest rates stay higher for longer. Now, why is that? Well, it gives me more time to accumulate more assets before the mass FOMO kicks in. If I look at this as an asset owner right now, I could say, well, if interest rates cut, property prices go up, I've got the wealth effect, I've got more money, I can go and do things. But if my property's gone up, chances are other places have also gone up and it's so much harder to buy property. So right now I'm saying, well, if interest rates do remain high for longer, there's two things that'll really happen when it comes to real estate. Your rents will stay higher for longer because people can't get into a market to buy their own place. Less people are going to build a house because, again, you can't get a loan and the appetite for new home lending has dropped significantly. That means there's less supply. And if there's less supply, that means property prices in most areas should stagnate to the side, if not actually go up. And that's what we've seen in the last 24 months. If you pick the right locations, you've done really well. If you pick dud locations, yeah, you're sort of moving sideways, but you're not dropping off. If you're buying units in an area that's high density and you listen to an uncle, well, you're pretty much screwed. Now, when it comes to rents, okay, yes, I rent vest, which means my rents are probably gonna go up as well, but because I have investments and I'm investing the rest of my money, I have my properties all go up in value in terms of the rents that they have. And the latest data is also proving the same thing. The median rent for both houses and units across Australia's capitals hit another all-time high in the March quarter per domain. In all capitals except Canberra, asking rents for houses have been higher for units. Only Hobart has yet to hit a record high. Asking rents have hit record highs in almost every major city in the nation, and the growth in the March quarter was the highest we've seen in 17 years. Okay, 17 years, guys. This is massive because this time is actually different. When you look at previous cycles, you're saying, okay, well, we can just have incentives for people to go out there, build more property, and we should be okay. But right now, you've got lag times with our governments when it comes to planning and getting things approved. You also have the fact that immigration is at its highest point we've seen over the last couple of years compared to 17 years ago. And this time around, when you see property prices or asset prices relative to how much income we're making, it's completely warped. So this time is different. And I know they're like the worst things you could say when it comes to market cycles, but every cycle is very similar. In this case, we've seen something that is playing out differently. Now, when it comes to home loans for new homes have fallen 2.1% as mortgage demand picks up. So ABS numbers published on Monday showing an overall 1.5% increase in mortgage commitments from Jan to a seasonally adjusted $26.4 billion after 2 months of declines hid the disparity emerging in Australia's housing markets. So what we're seeing right now is, yes, people want to take mortgages to buy places, but it's to buy existing homes, not new homes. And that is a big difference between the two. Because if you're just buying existing stock, it's either going from an owner-occupier to an investor, or an investor to an owner-occupier, or an investor to an investor, okay? There's three options. If you're going and creating new stock, that's more supply that's on the market. In this example, where you're buying existing stock, it doesn't mean the supply increases. It remains the same. And when it remains the same, there's a couple of things that could happen. Let's say, for example, you're in a suburb where an owner-occupier sells their home to an investor. That means one extra rental property available. But what happens if it's the opposite? What happens if an investor sells their property and an owner occupier picks it up? That means one less property available to rent. And that is what starts pushing prices higher when it comes to rentals. This has been playing out for the last 24 to 36 months in so many suburbs. I've seen growth in some of these suburbs by 20 to 30% when it comes to rental growth. And that's over the last 12 months. So if you're an investor and you're seeing 20 to 30% increases, you're like, this isn't so bad when it comes to interest rates. Because at some point, we probably will see the economy slow down. We will probably see inflation actually get sorted out and we probably enter a deflationary period. When that happens, we're gonna see interest rates fall. What you capture in the first phase is your rents go higher, and yes, interest rates are higher, so it's annoying. But what you can do is during that time, you can accumulate what you need. Because once you see those yields increase, and they will, because you've got less supply, you've got rents popping up by 20 or 30%, you don't necessarily see property prices going up by the same amount in the next 12 months. So what you'll see is yields suppress. And when yields suppress, your value when you're buying a property is like not as nice because you're going, hey, I could have bought in this area, it would have been 6% yield. Now I'm getting like 4.5% to 5%. That's shit. But in 12 months time, when you see the next rent rises, you're gonna see your yields increase. And if you happen to just go, I'm gonna wait for 12 months, waiting for those yields to increase, at that point, you're still paying an extra 10 to 20% higher on the property price. And that is significantly worse than the negative cash flow you would have experienced for the last year. Hopefully that all made sense, but if it hasn't, I'm gonna break it down for you right now. Here's the summary. If we see interest rates remain high for longer, you can still win. And if interest rates fall in the next 6 months, you still win. And you're probably thinking now, this makes no goddamn sense. Why can I win in every situation? Because that's what happens when you have a winning and optimistic mindset. I'm not saying go out there and FOMO buy anything. I'm saying you need to have a winning mindset, and to have one, you need to be adaptive. As an adaptive investor, you're making money whether interest rates are going up or interest rates are going down. If there's war in the countries or there's no war. This is the reality of someone who will go out there and outperform every single market every single time. There's gonna be some speed humps along the way, but if you're positioned well and you have the right risk mitigation tools, you can win. And that's why it is super selfish of me to come out and say, well, look, I don't actually mind if interest rates are higher for longer. In fact, I've got clients right now going, hey, before the interest rates start cutting, can I go and purchase that one more property? Can I go back to my broker and ask for that one extra pre-approval? It's just trying to squeeze out as much as possible before what we ultimately know, which is liquidity is gonna come into the system, money's gonna get printed again. If we don't see that, the whole world's collapsing anyway. Buying a property is probably the least of your worries. I hope all of this has made sense, and if it has, go ahead and subscribe to the channel. Watch the videos that I made, say, 12 months ago, predicting exactly what is playing out right now. When you look at what's about to play out in the next 12 to 24 months and you're interested in watching something like that, let me know in the comments down below. I'll share my predictions around everything. If you're looking at crypto, you're looking at stocks, you're looking at property prices, I'll make that video. So in the comments down below, write predict with Ravi and I'll make that one shortly. I hope you guys have enjoyed this video. If you have, smash that like button, subscribe if you haven't already. And if you need help navigating this crazy world and getting a strategy in place, then definitely book a discovery call with our team, which is completely free. So I'll catch you guys in the next one. Thanks, guys.